Snap Inc., a huge success with millennials, failing to impress investors Wednesday in its first earnings report since its blockbuster IPO. The stock plummeting more than 24% after hours. Rivals Facebook and Twitter also flopped in their first report, and their stocks tanking in the aftermath. But Facebook, unlike Twitter, has since more than bounced back and is hot on the heels of Snap with a near identical clone of its most popular video feature called Stories.
It's very important that people feel comfortable to contact the bank or the regulators with full protection to talk about conduct issues at Barclays. And we have a very robust whistleblowing program, and we're going to do everything we can to maintain the scale and depth of that program. And all signs are that there's been no change in...
people are using it.
Absolutely.
How much do you think Comey's firing affects the day-to-day function of the FBI?
I think this can be politically a win for the president, but more importantly, functionally, it can be a win for the FBI that they have a new face coming in who's not burdened by the baggage that Director Comey has built up over the last 10 months.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the program. Today is Thursday. It's May 11th, 2017. Glad to have you here for another edition of The Opening Bell. Another business day is underway. Lots to talk about here coming up on the show. A little bit later in the program, the Home Builders Association of Illinois will join us. We'll talk all things renovation and building trends and issues facing the building industry. In a little bit, we'll bring in our thought leader here for our regular Thursday discussion. But first, on the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk this morning, Dow futures are looking for another week open on Wall Street off 26 points. S&P and NASDAQ futures are lower as well. Crude oil is trading at $48.11 a barrel. Asian markets were moderately higher today. Few data reports to move the markets in Asia. Investors watching tax reform developments here in the U.S. after President Trump's firing of the FBI director. Oil prices extended gains as well. Crude oil now at $48.11, up almost 1.5%. Japan's Nikkei rose just 0.3%. South Korea's index jumped almost 1.5%. Hong Kong's index was up about 0.5%. Standard & Poor's picked up about 2 points yesterday. The Dow Jones Industrial Average gained about 32 points. The Russell 2000 index of small company stocks was up about 7 points yesterday. That's just about 0.5%. Some news that we've been watching while you've been asleep. The top Democrat on the Senate Finance Committee says he will block the nominee for Treasury post until the department delivers all documents related to Russia and its financial dealings with President Trump and his associates. Senator Ron Wyden of Oregon yesterday put a hold on Sigal Mandekar's nomination to become Undersecretary for Terrorism and Financial Intelligence. Wyden says the office he's been nominated to lead has the information the committee wants, but so far has not been responsive. The Senate Finance Committee oversees much of the Treasury Department. The Office of Terrorism and Financial Intelligence works to combat financial crimes and threats, including money laundering. Democratic Senator Mark Warner of Virginia, the vice chairman of the Senate Intelligence Committee, announced yesterday he's requested information from Treasury's Financial Crimes Network, Enforcement Network as well. This all comes yesterday as the U.S. Senate Intelligence Committee issued its first subpoenas in the Russia investigation to a former National Security Advisor Michael Flynn. Lots happening in that investigation that we'll be following for you through the day. Apple has announced plans for a $1 billion expansion of its massive data center near East Reno, Nevada. A spokesperson for Apple says the investment will include the hiring of 100 permanent workers, doubling its workforce there. Boeing is suspending test flights of a new commercial airplane because of possible problems with a key engine part. The company says it was notified of potential manufacturing quality issue by CFM, which makes the engines that are going on the new Boeing 737 MAX of Boeing based here in Chicago. It is our Thought Leader Thursday, our regular weekly conversation with Associated Bank Thought Leaders. Chuck Garcia is here this morning. He's the Director of Commercial Deposits and Treasury Management at Associated Bank. covering most of the recent happenings in the banking landscape. Lots of new trends and things happening as well. Chuck, welcome back to the opening bell. Good to see you here this morning.
Thank you. Great to be back.
Good to see you. It's apparently conference season. You've been going to some conferences. What's up?
Well, it is conference season. It tends to be this time of year. A lot of payments-oriented conferences that really blend corporate treasurer types, cash managers, and then vendors that provide a lot of software, hardware for these type of situations. Then obviously banks and financial providers are all participants there.
What are the trends? What's the buzz that you're hearing?
Well, really for the last 15 months, faster payments is a big buzz. Between the Federal Reserve and the National Automated Clearinghouse Association, frequently heard as NACHA, really joined together to say, how can we bring the United States more mainline with where the rest of the world is in terms of moving payments, moving dollars faster and cheaper? So we have a great rail to run on, the ACH network that has been around for a long time. So a pretty collaborative effort of technology, banks, corporates got together and really created what's the first run of it is same-day settlement of ACH transactions. That was back in October. Mm-hmm. It will continue to expand as the years go on. Initially, it was just being able to provide prepaid credits. It will move on in the future here and further into 17 and 18 with expanding the dollar amounts and the type of payments that can be affected. So that's a big buzz in the world today.
How are we different from other countries in this regard?
Well, they have really had this operation, you know, moving money much quicker for years. The U.S. has lagged, and you know, typically an ACH payment would have a 2 or 3 day lag on the settlement. Cheap, it's a very cheap, effective way, but the dollar movement was not as rapid as the other countries.
Security, I bet, is another big buzz out there too, right? To make sure all this stuff is safe.
You can't really pick up any document or any publication or any conference, obviously, without that. It's created a whole new set of opportunities for people that provide security for locking down networks, providing better insurance to the corporate clients. Certainly banks are very, very active and have been for a number of years of trying to mitigate fraud. But about the minute you catch up, there's something new that is created. And really, the biggest issue we can't safeguard against today is really just a person making an individual mistake inside a company.
And those mistakes can be very costly. Can you give us some anecdotal information about how costly some of those could be?
Well, I think the biggest recent issue is really oriented toward business email compromise takeover. So I send you an email and it happens to have a link that I ask you to effect a transaction. Looks legitimate. Looks like everything that you would get from a company. You click on the link, move money, only to find out 2 hours later that, oh, wow, that was a big oops. I shouldn't have clicked on that. Money's gone. And very often they're either in a third world country bank and trying to get that money back is the chances are almost next to zero.
When you say that the money's gone, even not being the business owner, it makes my stomach drop. Hear the money's gone is unbelievable.
It is. And, you know, the individual in this case didn't do anything maliciously. They weren't in cahoots with whomever sent this. They made a mistake, and it happens every day. We had one very recently that was just that exact scenario.
There's a report that's out, the 2017 Payments Fraud Survey. Corporate payments fraud is at a record level.
Yes.
Is that all kinds of fraud? Is it specific to check or electronic or what kind of fraud?
It runs the gamut. The banks have done a very good job working with corporates really over the last 8-10 years on checks. Okay, so there are a lot of tools that corporates can avail themselves that virtually every bank has the ability to help them mitigate. And keyword is mitigate. You can't eliminate that type of fraud. So check fraud, while it's still out there, it is absolutely there. There are more frequent, broader tools that are utilized today than some of the others. This business email compromise I noted, it's a tough one to keep up with.
Is there a difference between fraud and stealing? Are those two separate things? So like when I click on an email and somebody takes my money, that's stealing, right?
Correct.
So what are the difference? What would fraud be?
Fraud would be, okay, so you and I create a scheme. I work inside a company where I can click on that email, move the money. We know what we're doing. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's fraud. It's stealing too, but that's more the fraud. So that's really where people are inside a firm and have intentionally done something that is defrauding the company. Stealing is the scenario we talked about with the email compromise.
Yeah, people always say that this sort of stuff is on the right. I always think of the bank robber going in and robbing the bank. This is where it's happening, though, electronically.
It is. You can get more money with an electronic click than you could really ever get out of a branch.
Yeah, so what is going to happen here? Because it seems like the technology is advancing to a level where it's trying to make all of our lives easier. But is the security part of this not keeping up? Is that what is at play here?
It's both. The balance we have to have as bankers as we relate to our customers is locking things down so hard where you're like, gee, Chuck, I can't do a transaction without having, 18 clicks here to get this done. And I've got 100 of these to do in a morning, for example. So it's a very difficult balancing act to say, okay, I'm giving you as much security and tool as possible without making it so onerous that you can't run your business. It's a definite balancing act. Education is a huge piece, though. Educating our clients, scaring them even to a little bit, is important. So making people aware of what's out there is really a big part of our job. As I have salespeople calling out in the marketplace or bankers in the marketplace, we attempt to educate them as much as possible so they can educate their end client that these things are real, they're happening, and these are the tools we have to mitigate this type of impact to you.
I would imagine one of the ways to avoid all this is just coming in person to the bank. But there's really not, you can't really go back to that, can we, with all this technology? Or can we?
I don't think in today's age that's practical at all. Again, technology is a great thing. It has simplified people's abilities to do things. You take the small business owner, and all statistics really indicate that if I own a small business, I'm not banking during the day. I'm banking at night or in the morning or on the weekend. Typically, bankers aren't sitting in a branch at that time. So it's impractical in today's environment. Again, awareness, utilizing the tools that are out there, are really the best we can do today, because going backward really isn't practical.
The report I mentioned earlier was accompanied by another news report about how some companies just aren't playing offense good enough. They're not taking advantage of the technology. Are you seeing that as well?
Very much so. And you'd be surprised. Very large companies that you would implicitly believe they are at the forefront of this. It's not always the case. So that is absolutely what we find. And again, we feel it's our job to educate as much as possible. You can't make people implement some of these things, but education is what we really focus on.
And the problem seems like it would only start spreading to more and more people as from a consumer standpoint. We're seeing Apple now think of getting into the payments like some of these other apps that
yes,
are out there.
Yes.
So this is only going to become bigger.
It will. Some of these small fintech firms are really creating some very interesting applications for predominantly consumers today, but it's typical. They'll start with the consumer base, move to the small business base, and become more mainstream in corporate America. It's absolutely going to happen.
Who's doing it right? I know you. Before we went on the air, we were talking about payments. Is that one of the fintech companies that's doing it well or no?
Well, there are a number of very small ones that you know we wouldn't even know their names, and they have some very interesting applications they have. A lot of the larger banks, for example, have actually bought into and or invested in these firms, so they get the capital and the wherewithal of a large firm. As these become more mainstream, they'll become the new Apples of the world, perhaps not as large, but they will become more mainstream names that we will all come to know.
Well, it's certainly something that we'll all stay tuned for, because I have a feeling before long we're all going to be using these in some way.
No doubt about it.
Or another. Let's talk about, because we had you in last, we were looking forward to this year, about some of the things that we might see coming from this sector. Has anything come to fruition from our list?
Well, we talked about rate increases.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we've seen one. And just this morning I heard the prognosticator saying that it's 100% likelihood that we will have another rate increase in June.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that one has and will continue to come true. I think we talked about the economy as a whole having a lot of momentum. I think we're seeing that. Jobless rates are amazing, almost to the point where you go, who's going to fill these jobs? And I think we're having difficulty filling jobs. I think we will begin to see more inflation and pressure on the wage side, which I think is a good thing. We haven't had that for literally 10 years now. So I think a number of those things have come true.
Yeah, that's kind of a good both sides of the coin are positive on that, because I'm hearing where job markets are tight, employers are offering more money.
Yes.
So wages will go up that way. One of the other things we talked about was mergers and acquisitions. This might be a big year for that. Are we seeing any pop up on the screen?
Not as much as I would have expected. And especially when I think of the financial sector, I thought we would see much, much more in this sector. I think people are still waiting to see what some of the legislation is that will actually take hold. Whole tax thing in front of us, is that going to become a reality? I'd say less than I would have expected.
We also talked about, you mentioned there, the regulations part of this too. There's the review that's underway now. What does all of that mean? What is it when they say they're reviewing it all? What does that mean?
I think, again, I'll speak to the one I know very well, the banking sector. Mm-hmm. We're feeling a loosening of that, of the reins. It's not going to be more. It's going to be more practical, mm-hmm. probably less. That relieves a lot of pressure internally in terms of where you put people, where you put resources. So I think it has a very positive impact. I think small businesses as well, where the real economy gets juiced. Easing up on those people, if we can get the taxes eased on those people and the regulations continuing to minimize, I think that has real positive impact for the economy.
Yeah, and one of the things that's the one concerning thing that I'll bring up is there's this underlying sentiment of concern. People don't want to go all in. There's that level of concern. Are you feeling that as well?
I don't think we will go back to, quote, the old way.
Right.
And I think that would be a mistake. But I think easing some of the things is a practical good thing for not only our sector, but really other sectors of the economy.
What else is on your plate in your crystal ball? Are you seeing anything coming?
I still see M&A as picking up. I think if some clarity is put out into the tax side and the regulatory side, I think M&A is very open, and I see that continuing. Less than we've seen, but I also see rates continuing to rise again this year. After the June, I think there will be one more.
Well, Chuck, it's always good to see you, and we'll look forward to seeing you next time.
Very much so. Thanks.
Chuck Garcia is the Director of Commercial Deposits and Treasury Management at Associated Bank. It's our Thought Leader Conversation. Remember, you can listen to our past conversations at WGNradio.com on the Opening Bell page, and follow Associated Bank at Associated Biz on Twitter, and listen every Thursday for our Thought Leader Conversation. Back with the news next here on the Opening Bell. It's 5:31.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is the Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome back to the program. It's 5:41. There is a discussion in Springfield of adding a tax on home remodeling and repair projects. That's included in the budget discussions that are ongoing. Illinois, of course, without a budget now, moving on 3 years. What would this tax do to the home building and remodeling industry in the state? We thought we'd bring in Bill Ward, the Executive Vice President of the Home Builders Association of Illinois, this morning. He's with us. Good morning, Bill. Welcome.
Good morning, Steve. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. First of all, where did this idea of a tax on building and remodeling come from, and how do you view it?
It came from the state of Wisconsin. The proponents of the grand bargain in the Illinois State Senate were looking for a way to tax services in Illinois. Illinois doesn't tax many services currently, and they want to get into that business now. And so they looked at the Wisconsin, and Wisconsin has about 6 to 8 economic sectors that they tax. And so they said, here's a good starting point. We have a total of 168 sectors that could be taxed, and they're starting with 8 sectors, and home repair business is one of those sectors.
I understand this is a 6.25% tax.
Yeah, Amendment number 3 of Senate Bill 9, it's the omnibus tax bill. It's a 500-page bill. It raises your income taxes. It creates the service taxes and many other things. On page 213, you'll find language that says basically they're going to tax the repair and maintenance and painting and so forth of tangible personal property or tangible personal property that has been affixed to real estate. That's Wisconsinese for taxing home repair work.
What would this do, Bill, to this, not only to the efforts of people to fix up their homes, but just in general to the building economy in the state?
Well, right now, Illinois is 50th in the country in new home construction. And so the home builders in Illinois that are still out there diversified into home repair work and handyman work and things of that nature in order to keep their businesses afloat. And so now here they are trying to do all they can to stay in business, keep their small businesses going. And here comes the state of Illinois saying, okay, we want to tax you now. And it's going to have a crippling effect to these businesses.
Yeah, and we have, I guess, Wisconsin to look to as an example. Has that been in a place long enough in Wisconsin to see the effects of it yet?
I think it's been in there for quite a while, and I don't know what the total makeup is for the state of Wisconsin and how, what their tax levels are and so forth. So you'd have to look at the entire business taxation mix to see, you know, and then, you know, other issues like workers' comp and so forth to see how they really – if they're good for business or bad for business. But all in all, if you take a look at what Illinois is doing with business right now and then add taxes to it, it's really going to be difficult to keep a business going in Illinois.
And this is one of those situations where, and correct me if I'm wrong, if you buy an air conditioner or you have a contractor go out there and buy some of these things, sinks, water heaters, you're already paying a sales tax on those. This would be a tax on top of that for the installation or the actual construction of it.
Yeah, Wisconsin's got a set of administrative rules that's quite difficult to understand, but they have a list of everything you can possibly do to your home, and then it says whether it's real estate improvement or personal property improvement. If it's real estate improvement, they say, okay, you're not going to be taxed, but if it's personal property improvement, then we're going to tax you. So, for instance, if you're going to replace your in Wisconsin, if you're going to replace your kitchen cabinets, you're not going to be taxed. But if you're going to repair your kitchen cabinets, you will be taxed. This is going to be a nightmare for businesses in Illinois, for home repair people to try to accurately account for what taxes they need to assess and collect, send it into the Department of Revenue, and then wait to see if there's going to be somebody knocking on their door saying, you know, we don't think you collect correctly this year. I think this is also going to create a situation where you're going to see a lot more business go underground, that if you pay me cash, you won't have to pay the tax. And I think you'll see a lot of that happen in Illinois. And then the legitimate builder repairman is going to be penalized with the 6.25%.
Yeah. Bill, how is this also going to impact people who, homeowners especially, who may be thinking about these projects when their homes really need work done? Is it going to cause people to not do this when they really need it?
Yes. The National Association of Home Builders has factored in that there's going to be that people will decide just not to do the repair work. There is definitely a step that people say, I'm not going to do this. Just as, you know, first of all, when they first came out with rolled out the taxation bills, they were going to tax soda pop, sugary drinks. And there was just a slew of lobbyists who came in and said, we don't want that. And it was taken out. And then so we had the service tax come in its place. So I think it's going to be a hardship for senior citizens. I think it's going to be a hardship for people on limited incomes. I think it's going to be a hardship for people in lower-income neighborhoods. In fact, City of Springfield, their city council passed a resolution opposing this tax because they don't want to see this tax put on in areas of their city where it's going to hurt recovering neighborhoods. So it really is going to be tough. And the other thing, too, you got to look at is think about fire damage. Think about storm damage. That gets into the tens of thousands of dollars. If you have a $20,000 repair job from fire, this is going to add another $1,250 to the repair of that home.
Yeah. Earlier, you said that we rank almost dead last, probably dead last, in the number of building permits being issued. We see lots of work happening in other states. Why not Illinois? Because this isn't in place yet. What's happening already here?
The number one thing, the most important thing to new home construction is consumer confidence. When consumers believe they're going to continually have an income and that their incomes are going to rise, then they are likely to buy a new home. We don't have that consumer confidence in Illinois like other states have, and it's because of that that we're not selling homes.
Bill, interesting. What's the status on this? Where does it go from here? I would imagine you guys are down in Springfield lobbying hard for against this, right?
We just had our lobby day 2 days ago, and you know, my guys got to experience what it's like going in there and getting pushback. They talked to a lot of senators. It's sitting on the Senate calendar on third reading right now. This bill never did have a hearing in committee. It just went straight from assignments to third reading on the Senate floor. And it's sitting there right now and could be called any time. In fact, yesterday they were trying to get the grand bargain up and going again, but I guess that fell through. But it's sitting there, and it could be called at any time. And that's why we're trying right now to get an awareness program going, get consumers aware that this is going to happen, and maybe you need to call your senator right now and say, I don't want to be taxed for home repair because doing home repair is a good thing for my home, it's a good thing for my neighborhood, it's a good thing for my community, and you shouldn't tax that.
Bill, thanks for being with us this morning here on the Opening Bell.
Thank you very much, Steve. I appreciate it.
Bill Ward is the Executive Vice President of the Home Builders Association of Illinois.
You're listening to the Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome back to the program on the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk. Dow, NASDAQ, S&P futures all are pointing lower this morning. Gold and silver are trading higher. Oil up as well, almost 1.5%, $48.09 a barrel. Let's get the latest on agriculture and commodities now. Good morning, Orion Samuelson.
Good morning, Steve. Well, the May supply and demand report was issued yesterday by the U.S. Department of Agriculture, and they added to the numbers a rather bearish outlook, saying that the stockpiles of corn and beans could weigh on prices for the rest of the year. The government issued its third biggest May forecast of the last 20 years for new crop corn stocks, 2,295,000,000 bushels in that report yesterday. The domestic soybean stocks outlook of 480,000,000 bushels came in as the sixth biggest ever predicted in May. Not only will it be a big situation in soybeans in this country, but in South America, Brazil particularly, we are looking at larger soybean harvest. So yesterday, with that information behind us, the July wheat contract ended 3.5 cents higher. May corn ended up 5.75, and May soybeans at the end of the trading day down 6.75. Livestock futures, cattle struggled but managed to get into positive territory with the June cattle contract up 5 cents a hundredweight. The August feeder cattle contract down $2.40, and the May lean hog contract up 87. Well, today, the invitation from the Department of Agriculture says you can attend an event in Cincinnati where Secretary of Agriculture Sonny Perdue will make a USDA reorganization announcement. Have a great day. I'm Orion Samuelson.
Thanks, Orion. Now the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk Outlook for this Thursday, May 11th, 2017. A couple of major economic reports out today. The Labor Department reveals number of people who applied for unemployment benefits last week. Also reporting on the U.S. producer price inflation for April. The Organization of Petroleum Exporting Countries, also known as OPEC, will release its monthly oil market report. Italy hosts the meeting of its counterparts from the United States, Canada, United Kingdom, Germany, France, and Japan, better known as the G7 finance countries. The European Commission publishes its spring economic forecast, and Britain's central bank will announce a decision on interest rates and monthly inflation. Also today, Freddie Mac reports on average weekly mortgage rates. A couple of big earnings today. It's a big day for retail. Macy's, Kohl's and Nordstrom's will report earnings. Macy's and Kohl's are expected to reveal more shrinking profits. Nordstrom's is expected to have a better retail report today. Some of the things that could move the markets on this Thursday, May 11th, 2017.